Yes. We're going to pray and get started. Father, we just thank you and we praise you and give you glory, Lord God. Lord, this is the day that you have made and we'll rejoice and be glad in it, Father. Father, we thank you. Father, we just open our eyes that we see what you're saying to us, our ears that we can hear what you're saying to us, and give us a heart to understand exactly what you're saying to us, Father. We give you praise and glory in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Tonight, we're going to start Cult of Honor, a supernatural culture. Cult of Honor, a supernatural culture. As we are being taught and trained how to operate in the supernatural, and as individuals, we all will learn how to be supernaturalists. Amen. The first thing I want to I want you to have a conviction that Jesus himself modeled this life for us, this Christian life for us. He's the one who showed us how to operate in it. And so if once you get that conviction in your heart that what Jesus did while he was here is the same way I should be able to operate when on the earth while I'm here. I was 30 characteristics that Jesus had while he was here. Let's go to our basic scripture. Ephesians chapter 4, one of our basic scriptures, and we'll see where we can do it. If the Word of God wouldn't say we can do it if we couldn't. So he's given us the ability to do this. In Ephesians chapter 4, beginning at verse 4, it says, "There is one body and one spirit, even as we are called into one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all." His verse 7 says, "But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he said, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, and he gave gifts unto men." Verse 9 says, "Now that he ascended," what is it that, "but also descended first into the lower parts of the earth. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things." Verse 11 says, "And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. See, we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." Until the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That means that same thing that Jesus did while he was here, we should be able to do the same thing if we stay long enough, be trained, as these are gifts are given to us to do that for us. And that's why Jesus could make that statement. He said, "The works that I do shall you do also, and greater works, because I go to my Father." And he left us an ability. He sent his Holy Spirit to help us to do the same thing that he did while he was on here on the earth. Let's see how he did it. In John 6:38, let's turn over there. See what his purpose, one of his purpose. We know that his main purpose was to destroy the works of the devil. In 1 John 3 and 8, he said Jesus manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. Over here in John 6:38, it 6:38, he said, "For I came down from heaven." So he was already in heaven when he came down. That's why he could make that statement. He said, "For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me." So he said, "I came not to do my will, but I came to do the will of the one who sent him." So we are in the body of Christ if we understand that we're not here to do what we want to do, but we are here to carry out God's will here in the earth realm. That's why when Jesus walked up on anything that Satan, he could go into Satan's territory and he could destroy anything that had did not have to do with the kingdom of God. One of the things that John 10:10 tells us, we quote the scripture, we say it, but I want you to see it with your eyes. He says, "Satan come to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus, I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly." So when Jesus walked up on anything, and he just walked into Satan's territory. And when he walked into Satan's territory, anything, he just took over. Walked up on he would take over that situation. He would give healing to that individual. If you walk into blindness, he would give sight to that individual. Walk into a person with deafness, he would give hearing to that individual. So that anything that was not part of the kingdom of God, Jesus would walk into that territory and he would take it over. He would destroy that territory. So that's what we are sent here. That's what we're being trained to do, to destroy the works of the devil here in the earth realm. God said, when you got saved, I could have took you and took you on to heaven, since that's where we all want to go anyway. And so, but I want to get my glory in the earth realm. And the only way I can get my glory in the earth realm is to find individuals who are going to obey me and follow what I tell them to do and carry out my will here in the earth realm. So Jesus, I came to do the will of my Father, the one that sent me. So the one thing that we have to understand, the heart of this culture that we're teaching, is that Jesus himself modeled the Christian life for us. Jesus explained that all the supernatural things that happen through him flow directly from his intimate connection with his Father, with his intimate connection with his Father. Turn to John with me. Chapter 14. St. John. John chapter 14. And like I said, I really like to read the Bible. So I read the Bible, and then I allow the Bible to preach itself. The Bible will preach itself if we sit here and open our hearts and see what the Spirit of God is saying here. So I'm just going to read from John 14, beginning at verse 6. Jesus said unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." And he said, verse 7, say, "If you had known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth you know him and have seen him." Philip said unto him, he said, "Lord, show us the Father, and it suffices us." Remember what Jesus said, his everything that he did while he was here was because of his connection with the Father, with God himself. So he had that special connection. Verse 9, Jesus said unto him, "Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip?" He said, "Show us the Father." But then he changed the statement. He said, "Have I not been so long with him?" What he was saying, he and the Father is one. And what the Father does is what I do is what the Father would do also. And so while we're here, what the Father would do, we should do also. And when people see us, they should see us as the Father. That's why when Jesus told him, he said in Acts 1 and 8, he said, "You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you should be witnesses unto me." And then he told him in Samaria, Judea, Jerusalem, and into the uttermost parts of the earth. So witness means that what the Father would do, we should be doing also. And so that's that witness that we should be carrying out. Watch what he says here. He says that he that has seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest thou, show us the Father? He said, why ask me to show me the Father? When you see me, you've seen the Father. He said, believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words I speak unto you, I speak not of myself. There it is again. He said, I don't speak my words, but I speak what the Father, what I hear the Father say. I do what I hear, see my Father do. And so the things that the way he handles situations on the earth is the way that I handle the situation. So anything that's not part of the kingdom, then that part is has to be eliminated. And so that's what I do. He says, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. He said, believe me, verse 11, he said, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, for else believe me for the very works say. He said, if you don't believe me, that he said, just the works I do. Have you ever seen a man go up and walk up on a man and just take mud and put it in his eye, come back seeing? Have you ever saw that? Have you ever saw a person that raised a person from the dead? That is a supernatural act here in the earth realm. So God said, I want you to learn how to do this. And through these apostles, through these prophets, through these pastors, evangelists, and teachers, He said, for the maturing of the saints until we all come into the measure of the fullness of Christ. He said, but I am the example that you carry. Turn to John right quick for a minute. I'm going to go right back to John 13. We right there in John. I'm going to read some more of that. And look at verse, 15. And what God does, he takes and he could give us words in the Bible, and we take them and we use them as principle. We can use them as doctrine, and so for reproof, for instruction. So here in John 14, he says, "For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done." He said to you, but I just stopped right there. He said that you should do as I have done while I was here on the earth realm. I want those who are in the kingdom who say they are Christians to do as I've done while I was here. And so when we carry here, that's why he watch what he says. He says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, verse 12, 14, 12, he said, verily, verily, I say unto you, truly, truly, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall you do also, and greater works than these shall you do. That greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Remember what he told the disciples in Luke 24 and 49? He said, do not leave Jerusalem until you receive the promise of my Father that I'm going to send to you. So he had to leave. He was only one person. But he said he was going to send the Holy Spirit back here to indwell us. So the works that he did while he was here on the earth, that we could do that exact work. Like I said, the Bible wouldn't tell us that we can do something if we could not do it. So if he said it in his word, then we can carry out that which God said unto us. Our apostle made a statement yesterday, gave us a scripture in Numbers 23:19. He says, God is not a man that he should lie. If he said it, he will make it good. God will make it good. And while I was meditating that, I'll turn to Isaiah right quick. And like I said, we'll go back to John and we'll go back over to my note. Isaiah chapter 54. Let's make it 55. Isaiah 55. And we'll begin to read at verse 8. And as we've been taught, that the verse 8 part is not for we who are believers. When he first started talking to these individuals, he was talking to unrighteous people. And one of the things he told them in verse 8, he said, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. So because he wasn't talking to believers, because we can have the mind of Christ. And if we can have the mind of Christ, then we can have God's thoughts. But he went on to say in verse 9, he said, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, He said, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. He said, for as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but water the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. He said, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. So if it goes forth out of his mouth, that means that he said it in the word. So if he said it in his word, if we carry that word in our hearts and we begin to do it, then that we can manifest God's word here in the earth realm. He says, so shall, verse 11, he says, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. Jesus said, the works that I do shall you do also, and greater works. And so if he did the works here on earth while he was here, then we can do the same works, because it come forth out of God's mouth. He said we can do it. But the only way we can do it, we have to learn, we have to train, we have to stay and do just like they did when he was here. One of the things that we have to see how Jesus operated while he was on earth, he gave us an example. Turn to Luke right quick and go back. He's sending me places, but like I said, and he's saying that same connection was what he came to give us through his death and resurrection. So here in Luke, remember we started this lesson, God said, I'm going to set this government upon his shoulder over in Isaiah 9, 6 and 7. And he said, and of his peace there shall be no end. And so he said, and the zeal of the Lord shall perform this. So God said, I'm going to do this. If you allow me, if you see what Jesus did while he was here, and then you do it the same way. I gave him as an example. We saw that in John 13. He said, I gave him as an example that if you do as he did while he was here, you can do those same works. So here in Luke, here we go reading again. I like to read. He says in verse Luke chapter 1, verse 27, he says, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and a virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came unto her and said, hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when he saw him, and when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. Remember last week we got into those names, and what the word of God said, he that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive as a prophet's reward. And also he said, we go by the names that God gives us. And when God gives us a name, he puts something in that name that whatever he couldn't carry out, carry out what God wants to do. So he gave him the name of Jesus. And so you remember Elizabeth had a son also. Before Mary got pregnant in that same chapter, Elizabeth got pregnant. But they told him she was going to name her son John, which was John the Baptist. When the dad didn't believe it, so he, I'm paraphrasing, so I don't say I'm misquoting, I'm paraphrasing, right? That if, he said, so when he said, how can these things be? And what he said was, when he said that, he didn't believe that it could happen because he was old and his Elizabeth was old. And so he, God shut up his mouth. He became dumb. So when he was born again, I mean, when the child was born, and they went to the time of him to name the child. One of the things that he asked him, what was they going to name him? So all the people named him Zacharias. And when they say name him Zacharias, then they say, let's ask his dad what we're going to name him. And they said, we're going to name him. He said, we're going to name him. He wrote on a piece of paper. He said, we're going to name him John. So what he did, he said, the God name that God wanted him to have, that's the name that I'm going to give him. And so when he gave the name John, came back to him, he began to speak again. But this is Mary. Let's see what Mary said here in verse 30. He said, and the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, verse 30, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. Back on Isaiah prophesies this. So now it's getting ready to come to pass in the earth realm. The thing that Isaiah prophesied is now beginning to manifest. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Remember what it said in Isaiah 96? There shall be no end. He said, of his peace there shall be no end. Where there's nothing is missing and nothing is broken. Everything is in its place. Anything that the enemy try to bring against you is in its place. And he shall reign, 33, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. And then Mary said unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And it goes on here. And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. And verse 37, and that's why I say we are operating in a supernatural kingdom. We have to know that when we accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, that we became into this supernatural kingdom because we have a supernatural God who's in charge of this supernatural kingdom. And if we do like Jesus did, he said, believe me that I and the Father are one. And so we can come one through the Father because of when he sent the Holy Spirit, he sent him to indwell us. And verse 37, it said, I mean, that's awesome scripture here. He said, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. And so when someone come to you and say, you have an incurable, you first thing you can say, that's a lie. Because with God, nothing shall be impossible. That's the supernatural, see. That's above the natural. The word of God, anything that the natural say, the word of God, Romans 12, 2 say, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might know what is a good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Jesus, I came to do the will of my Father. And since I'm going to do the will of my Father, what I'm going to do, every time Satan sticks his head up, I'm going to destroy his head. I'm going to destroy his works. I'm going to go into his kingdom. And I'm going to operate in his kingdom like it's my kingdom. And so what I'm going to do, just like the word I say, I'm going to keep him under my feet. And I'm not going to allow him to rise up and keep him there. Amen. He said, let's go back to John chapter 14, where we was reading. Get verse 12 again. He said, truly, truly, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, remember, he told us earlier, he said, remember, I don't do the works. He said, the Father who's in me, he do the works. And so we took him as our example. He's our example. So we get to the point and say is that the works I do, I don't do the work. The Father who's in me, he's in me. So the works that I do, the Father does those works. Because he said, you know, same thing, the same way I did it, you do it also. And he said, whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in me. He said, if you shall ask anything in my name, that's that name again, that's because all the power, all God's ability is in that name. He said, if you ask anything in my name, he said, I will do it. And he said, this is the prayer aspect of it. There's a part, a further part of that he asked. He said, the Father will do it. He said, I will do it. He gets over in John 16. He said, anything that you ask in my name, he said, God will do it. And so what that is more of a demand, not a demand on God, but a demand on what is rightfully yours based on what Jesus has provided for us on the cross, what he's already done. So we can go to God and we can demand what is rightfully ours. If you own something, you got a vehicle, and you go out there and somebody else is sitting up in your vehicle and you know it's your vehicle, and what you're going to say, get out of my car. That's a demand. You're going to tell them right there, get out. and because you know it's yours. Same thing in the kingdom of God. Jesus have already provided for us everything that we need to operate here on earth. He provided healing for us. He provided prosperity for us. He defeated Satan for us. So everything that we so now we can go to God and we can demand. We can demand those things that rightfully belongs to us. And he said, if you do it, turn over to 16 right quick and we'll go back. We re-roll, re-rolling, re-rolling. He says, John 16. Do I have to read the whole chapter to find it? He said, in that day, 26, he said, at that day you shall ask in my name, and I say not to you that I will pray the Father for you. For the Father himself loveth you because he loved me and have believed that I came out from the Father. I came forth out of the Father. So what he said, hitherto, verse 24, he said, hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. He said, ask and you shall receive, that your joy shall be full. Verse 23, let's go back up one more verse. He said, and in that day, talking about today, once you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, once you've come into the kingdom, he says, in that day, you shall ask me nothing. He said, verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever, 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 that Jesus have already provided for you, if you ask, he said, whatsoever you says, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. And so in Jesus' name, everything that we provide. And when we talk about that name, we talk about the things that God has put in that name from the cross. Those abilities that he's given Jesus from the cross. That's and like I say, this, when they interpret this part of it, and it went back to the original writings, it was whatever you demand. So it was the man, what rightfully belongs to you. And so what we find out is healing rightfully belongs to. I always say healing because when we was redeemed from the curse, we came into the kingdom. We know sin was eliminated. And so I always say, because sickness is one of the biggest parts that is manifested in the body of Christ. And the other part is lack and poverty. And so when we go to God and we see these things that's not part of the kingdom, a part of heaven here on earth, God done told us that we can have days of heaven on earth because he asked us, he said, when you begin to pray, Isaiah 6, he said, when you begin to pray, one of the things he said, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. So if his will, that's part of that will again. He said, I came to do the will of my Father. And so he told us to ask for the same thing, that thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And so we know that there's no sickness in heaven. And so since there's no sickness in heaven, we can, and why is there no sickness? Because Jesus have eliminated. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, now we will be healed. We are healed. And so since we are, that's a done deal. And so when he tried to come, he tried to steal your health from you. You can call him a liar outright. He was a liar from the beginning. So he's trying to deceive you and take away the rights that belongs to you. Those things that belongs to you, he's trying to deceive you and take those from you. But God has put it in his word. Remember Isaiah 53, what he told us? He says, the words that he sent out, it shall prosper in the thing where he sent it. It shall accomplish what he said they was going to accomplish. And so now, those things that he said he was going to do, it will come to manifestation in your life. Let's turn back to Luke. I say Jesus was our example. Luke chapter 2 again. did start reading again. At 40. Luke 2:40. And the child grew. That's that child from Isaiah 9, one whose government is going to be up on his shoulder. And waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was up on him. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they supposed him to have been in the company when a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintances. So what they did, they went up to Jerusalem to the feast, and Jesus stayed behind. His mother and father was with the group they was with. So they went a whole day's journey before they found out that Jesus was not with them. When they looked up, he wasn't there. You know, if I had a child and I look out and, you know, and I don't know if I would take a whole day before I figure out he wasn't with me. But, that he was, the child was with him. They went a whole day's journey. It was different times. And so he said, but they supposed him to have been in the company when a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolks and acquaintances. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. They were sitting in among the doctors. He's a 12-year-old. And God had already told him what he was going to be, you know, and how God was going to be on his shoulder. So he's getting ready to run off in his ministry, like some of us do. God gives us a few scriptures. And you take those scriptures, and he said, I'm going to make you a pastor. So we run out, I'm going to make us a pastor right now. And we go on the corner, and we open up a church. And 15 years later, we got that same church with those couple of people that we had in them. And so he said he was sitting among the midst of the doctors, both learning them and asking them questions. And all that heard him was astonished at his understanding and answers. This is a 12-year-old now. And he says, and when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, she said, why hast thou dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And what did Jesus say to her? He shot back at her. He said unto them, how is it that you sought me? Wish you not that I must be about my father's business? So at 12 years old, he thought he was ready to go out and carry out at 12 years old. And so, God had put it in him, so he thought he had to do that at that time. And so, like I said, he said, example, I'm an example of how you should do this. He said, and they understood not the saying which he spoke unto them, and he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. This is at 12 years old, and so what he did, he had to go back and submit himself to his parents. We who are in the kingdom, as we're learning and growing, we have to submit to somebody before we go out there on our own and train. We have to be first. That's why Jesus gave us apostles. And again, that's why we have so many churches. You know, I'm not defrauding churches or anything, but there's so many of them. Are the God of multiplication. God is the God of increase. So you don't want to. Our apostle says, Ephesians 20, now to him who's able to exceedingly abundant above all the power that worketh in us. We got that power in us. So God is a God. If it's not increasing, if it's not multiplying, God is a God of increase. Now, if I'm sitting here and like I say, 15 years later, and I got the same results that I had 15 years ago, then I have to go back and try to figure out, What am I doing wrong? I have to see God. I have to find out. What am I doing? I got to be doing something wrong because, you know, God, I know you. You're bigger than this. And since you're bigger than this, I need to know what's happening here. And he said, and he went down with them and came to Nazareth, that's at home, and was subjected to them. But his mother kept all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and and stature and in favor with God and man. He subjected. He went back from the time he was 12 years old until the time.
Anytime.
Oh, he had to go back and submit himself to his father, to his mother and his father, even though he may have known. And sometimes we do. We get in a place and we think we know more than the person that we're sitting under. But that God said, you have to be under someone. You have to be trained. And the only way you're going, because they got experience. His parents had experiences that he had not experienced yet. And because he didn't have those experiences. And so we know that he didn't start his ministry until he was 30 years old. So from the time he was 12 years old to the time he was 30 years old, he had to sit there and he had to learn. But he say he increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God. So now when God sent us a place, as Christians, and he wants us to train. He wants us to sit under somebody. And you say, well, how do I know whether I'm in the place that God wants me to be? Well, then that's your fault if you don't know. Because what you're supposed to do when you're supposed to ask God. And when you ask God, then he's going to send you a place. And the place
seems also to one of the last
to be shared. 1 Corinthians 12. I have set, turn over to 1 Corinthians, let's see this. And the Apostle Paul, you know, he be ministering. Apostle Paul was teaching the body of Christ. And he was teaching us how we should operate in this body. And he went on here in 12, Ephesians 12, he said, brethren, I wouldn't have you ignorant of spiritual gifts. Then he goes down and he tells us how we can operate in this kingdom, how we can do like Jesus did. He told us about these ninefold manifestation, supernatural manifestation of the Spirit of God. He talks about here in the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge. But then he gets down here in verse 12. He say, for as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of that body being many are one body, also is the Christ. So we are the body of Christ. He said, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink in one Spirit. He said, for the body is not one member, but many. He said, if the foot shall say to the hand, because I'm not the hand, I'm not of the body, it is that now for all the body. And if the ear shall say, because I'm not the eye, I'm not all the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? And if the whole were the hearing, where would it be? He said, in verse 18, again, I like to say, the word of God says, so then faith comes hearing, and hearing by the word. So if I hear this, and I understand this, and I know this, God, we've asked God, Ephesians 1, the Ephesians prayer that Paul asked believers in Ephesians to pray, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ would give unto us a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of our understanding might be enlightened, that we might know. And so if you're not in a place that God, that you think God has sent you, you go to God, you go to the Holy Spirit, you ask him, Lord, be in your perfect will. Just say it, you can ask him. He said, what you ask, I'm going to give it to you. And so he says that if you ask him to be in his perfect will, and then the place you go, he's going to basically tell you where you should be. And when he tell you that, that's where you're going to plant yourself. That's where everything that God has for you is going to be at that place that he sent you. That's where you're going to grow. That's where you develop. That's where you're going to learn many
of the common.
You're going to mature. That's where all your blessings are, is where God sent you. It's not necessarily that he's going to send you to be in a pulpit, to be a pastor of a church. He might want you to go somewhere where there's a developed ministry already. But he wants you to go to that place to help that pastor, that apostle, carry out the ministry that God has given to him. That individual needs help. He's not just training you so that you can go out and run out and do what you need to do, but he's training you that person, God is the one who gives the visions. He gives you a visionary to carry out the vision. The visionary is the one who has the vision, but he needs help. And so he trained you to go in and help him to carry out that vision. We all being trained. We all being maturing in the things of God. And it says for the work of the ministry. It didn't say go out and pastor the church. It say for the work of the ministry. The ministry does not cover the pulpit. The ministry covers a whole aspect of ministry. There's so many things that goes on into ministry. It's constantly work. But the man who's in charge, the pastor, can't do all the work. So God called other individuals into that ministry to help him, help God carry out that ministry. And then while you're doing that ministry, we can see it as an example in the book of Acts.
About how Miriam was actually
spending that time. Let's turn over that right quick. Like I say, it's rolling right quick. But he's sending him into places, and I want you to see, because you know we asking God to open our eyes that we can see, we open our ears that we can hear, and you're giving us a heart to understand about what God is doing. God is doing some awesome things here in the earth realm at this time, and like I said, I feel so honored to be part of what God is doing right now. And so you know, you as individuals, you should be, yeah, God, you thought enough of little old me to bring me in to be part of what you're doing in Ephraim. I mean, I'm talking about the Almighty God. I'm talking about the Everlasting Father and what he's doing right here in Ephraim right now. Here in Acts chapter 6, it says, "And in those days when the number of disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows was neglected in their daily ministration." And that's ministry. That's, you know, daily in the things they need on a daily basis, you know. He said, "Then the 12 called the multitude," that's the apostles, "called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables." So, like I said, God put them in there, these apostles and these prophets, these evangelists and pastors. He put them in there for a specific reason. But again, he called individuals into the ministry to help carry out that ministry. And he said, "Wherefore, brethren," he said, "look out among you. Look out among you." He said, and he said, "find 7 of them that's full of the Holy Ghost, full of faith, that we can, you know, assign to do this task. I'll point them over this business of what? Serving tables, waiting on tables." But we find out as we read on through the book of Acts, we find out that Stephen was the same thing that the apostle was doing. He was doing signs and wonders and miracles. Why? Because they was under and they had been trained by these apostles, and they was helping them carry out the ministry. God said, "I put them in the ministry so they can mature." He said, but we actually say for individuals who are full of faith and full of the Holy Ghost. Full of faith and full of the Holy Ghost. We are, God says, John 1:12, he said, "to them who receive him, I give them the ability to become a son of God." You got the ability, but just because you got the ability don't mean that you're going to necessarily become that son that God wants you to be. You may be still a child. Galatians chapter 4. Let's see that. Before our time run out. He's given me so much, and I just, like I said, I want you to see it. And I'm pointing you to places, and I'm asking you to allow the Holy Spirit to reveal to you the things that he said to you through his word. He says, "Now, I say unto you," that's this individual who have not matured in the things of God. That's this individual who come into the kingdom and just sit and listen, but never went out to try to do those things that he did. He said, "Now I say unto you that the heir, as long as he is a child, differ nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all." So he's saying that if you never mature, if you never sit in a place and allow God to mature you, allow these graces that's in these individuals to be imparted to you so you can mature in the things of God, you're no different. Even though you be Lord of all, you're no different than a servant. So he's saying that the things that I need for you to do, I need you to mature in those things. He said, "But it's under tutors and governments in the time appointed of the Father. Even so we, when we were children, was in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that was under the law, that he might receive the adoption of sons. And because you're sons, God sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father." So he's saying that we can mature if we allow God to develop us. We grow in the things of God. We sit, we subject ourselves to someone. All through our scripture, everybody who was in the kingdom, Elijah had to submit himself to Elisha. And so Timothy had to submit himself to Paul. And it goes on and on and on. Aaron had to sit under Moses. Joshua had to sit there. Joshua had to sit under Moses. And so Moses couldn't go over. Joshua, when time come to go over, Joshua had to take the people over to the promised land. And so, but he was trained. He sat there. He didn't open his mouth. He was listening and he was observing. And so when it was time to come, he had the anointing to carry the people over. Let me give you a few more pointers. Sustaining a supernatural lifestyle where signs and wonders follow us is therefore totally dependent on us living out our true identities as sons and daughters of God. So our true identities is a supernatural identity, because that's who, that's where we come from. That's when we accepted Jesus Christ, we came into a supernatural kingdom. Sustaining a supernatural lifestyle where signs and wonders follow us is therefore totally dependent on living out our true identities as sons and daughters of God. As sons and daughters, our true identity. That's our true identity. I just showed it to you in Galatians 4 that we are, and that's what we became. If you want to see a little bit more of it, let's turn to John right quick. Chapter 1. Looking at verse 12. It says that, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Even to them that believe. So we got the ability. We believe on his name. They blame on the name of Jesus. He said, well, we ask in that name, we shall receive whatever we ask. And when we ask the Father, he said, he'll do it, or the Father will do it. One more verse. We go to Romans chapter 8. And so there's an addendum, something else. He said, I give you power to become sons, but you don't necessarily become a son just because you have the ability. But you become a son when you, Romans chapter 8, verse 14. Romans chapter 8, verse 14. He said, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So what he's saying, you have to do like Jesus. Jesus said, I and the Father is one. What I see the Father do, I do. What I hear my Father say, that's what I say. So you're going to hear from the Holy Spirit. And so as we do what he tells us to do, we become the sons of God. Meditation scripture for this class, Romans 8. Verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Father God, we just thank you. We praise you and give you glory, Father. Father, what you've told us to tell your people, we've said it to them, Father God. And Father God, they're not just hearing anymore. They are now receiving, Father God, and they're going to become doers of what you say to us. Father, we give you praise and glory in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen.